Are you able to explain to people why you believe there is a God? This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are getting on your nerves, they're whining, they're complaining, they're making unfair demands, they're expecting you to do things that they should be able to do for themselves, they're trying to manipulate you, would you please remember the words from the musical Les Miserables, from one of the songs at the end of towards the end of the musical? To love another person is to see the face of God. I mean, how can we interact with people we don't particularly like, but we have to interact with them in the family, or at work, or in the neighborhood? We have to become domestic mystics. I know I talk about that every Thursday, but it's something that I work on all the time. I mean, I live with 16 other men, and they can get on my nerves, and I'm sure there's times I get on their nerves. And so it becomes very, very important that we're able to see people through God's eyes. Respect means look again. We look at people not through our eyes because, you know, we will not have a favorable opinion on them if we only see them through our eyes. We look at them through God's eyes because God helps us to see them the way God sees them. And God loves them. He doesn't condone their behavior. He really gives them the grace to have a conversion. But He loves them. He loves them unconditionally. I'm not saying that you're God. I'm saying that you can become a domestic mystic because a mystic has the ability to reverence the God that dwells in another person. The person may have covered up the image of God pitifully. May not be acting, in no way are they acting like a child of God. But we love them because love heals. Love binds. Love doesn't destroy. It gives new life. Well, today, I'm going to talk about the reasons why we believe in God. And I do that because it used to be, years ago, the atheist either dismissed those who believed in a deity, or they just paid no attention to them. But now, atheists are becoming very militant. They feel driven to attack the beliefs a person has. They feel driven to say there's no God. Or as some atheists would say, the militant atheists, I will destroy God. I also find that through the media, atheists are trying, you know, through the back door, to undermine our children's belief in God. And so I want to encourage you to pray and study so that you can give a very cogent, very intelligent answer to why you believe in God. Okay. René Descartes said once, I think, therefore I am. And his disciples went much further than he would have ever went by saying, God cannot exist because the only thing that exists is what I can understand. Well, of course that's going to rule out what God really means to those of us who are believers. Because God's bigger than our intelligence. Scripture says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. Or Prophet Isaiah says in chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah, your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And of course, I, Father Scott, like to add, and our timing is not necessarily God's timing. Now let's address right away a big mistake that lots of people make. Allow me to explain. When I'm giving a parish mission, a retreat, or renewal, whatever you want to call it, and there's a school connected to it, I often will go through the school working with the kids. Or if they have a youth group, I work with them. Now, when I'm working with middle school and especially high school students, and I'm interacting with them, I will call up a student to be a part of a skit with me. And granted, the student's going to be nervous because basically I'm a stranger and all the friends are watching him or her. And I'll say, "Do you believe there is a God?" And of course they say quickly, "Yes." And I'll say, "Why do you believe there is a God?" Now here's where the problem occurs, okay? They grow silent. And I'll force the issue. "Why do you believe there is a God?" Or I'll put it this way, "How do you know there is a God?" Well, when I say, "How do you know there is a God?" the response 9 out of 10 times is, "Because I believe." Now here's where the problem is going to be. If God's existence depends on whether we believe it or not, well, then what happens? I quit believing there is a God, so God goes out of existence? No. The reason why I believe is because God exists. God doesn't exist because we believe. You understand the distinction there? There is enough credible evidence for a person, an intelligent man or woman, to believe. Now, what has happened over the last 50 years is that we have dismissed, as the followers of René Descartes did, much of our society has dismissed the existence of God because they can't figure it out. Well, what arrogance, huh? To think that you can figure out God completely. But those of us who believe would say, if you pay attention to creation, to the order in creation, you know, scientists, and I'm no scientist, but scientists will say if the axis of the earth, it spins on an axis, right? If the axis of the earth was off to the left or to the right, the slightest, the earth could not sustain human life. Wow. You wouldn't call that an accident? You wouldn't call the other order that we find in our world accidents? Well, some will call that accidents. But anybody who is open to the possibility that the order in our world was created by a deity, there's evidence here. Same way, have you ever come across something that was not made? You were made by your parents. This table in front of me was made by somebody. The book off to my left. My glasses, my reading glasses. What I write with, all was made. The paper in front of me was made. Can you think of anything that was made that made itself? No. We can trace back every material thing in this world to a maker. But there has to come a time when the maker is the last entity. Made, bang, the maker. You just can't say this would go on for infinity. That's not possible. Also, think about this. For something immaterial to be dependent upon something material for its existence, I don't know of any case of that. What am I talking about here? The soul. What distinguishes us from the animal kingdom? Our soul. We do self-reflective thinking. We can actually laugh at a funny thing that we said or did. Now, scientists cannot bridge the immaterial with the material. And so that link is called the missing link. And all of my lifetime, and I think for the rest of the time that God allows the world to be in existence, there always be looking for the missing link because they're not going to find it. Because for Christians, what is the missing link? It's the breath of God, the Ruah Yahweh, as our Jewish brothers and sisters say. It's the breath of God. When God created Adam and Eve, first parents, he breathed into them. Adam means red clay. And so in very figuratively simple language, God picks up red clay and he breathes into the clay and creates Adam. So that immaterial reason for why we are different than the rest of God's animal kingdom is because we contain a soul, a spiritual soul that will last for all eternity. And therefore, for somebody to say that material can create the immaterial, I've never seen an example of that, and they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. Now, not only can the arguments come from, you know, the material universe, but it comes from much more deeply. For us Christians, it comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe because Jesus is alive right now. He rose from the dead. How do I know he rose from the dead? No, I wasn't there. But people that I consider credible witnesses who are willing to give their life, not for a lie, but for the truth, said that Jesus rose from the dead. He walked among us. He ascended into heaven. Also, because of the miracles that will never be explained by science or by doctors, the miracles that happen. Miracles performed by somebody like Padre Pio, who was a capuchin, a member of my community, who lived into the 1960s. Padre Pio had the miracle of bilocation, being in two places at the same time. He had an incredible gift for reading people's hearts and souls, and he did healing. Now, you can talk about all the reasons why these miracles could be explained in a natural way, but no, you can't. No. That's, if you don't want to believe in a God and you don't want to believe in miracles, you'll come up with another explanation, but the explanation flounders. Because there's no real explanation for a miracle. And doctors will say at wonderful places like Lourdes or Fatima, other places where the miracles of God has occurred, we can't explain why a person who is deathly ill is all of a sudden quickly restored to life. All right. We believe in God because there's plenty of evidence. God exists and therefore we believe. Today's food for thought. Humility is like underwear, essential but indecent if it shows. Written by Helen Nielsen. Our prayer partners today is the Senate, the U.S. Senate. May God bless those men and women. They're very powerful. May they do the right thing. Amen. My small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A teenage girl brings her boyfriend who rides a motorcycle. He has a nose ring. He has tattoos all over him. Her parents are appalled. After a while, the mother pulls her daughter aside and says, "You know, your friend doesn't seem very nice." The daughter says, "How could you say that, mother? How could you say he's not nice when he has done 5,000 hours of community service?" Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory.